Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you. Still live in New Orleans. Hoping to get home soon. Right after the show. Ready to be in the city. I don't know if Bob's going to make it. He's just really struggling.
A big readjust over there.
Yeah, he's just really struggling in this chair. And it, okay.
Over at the Landing in Liberty, he's got Bob's big pretzel here. He's got Bob's tiny corner.
Yeah, it's. But I was on the cord, and it was like, you know, choke yourself.
Oh, not yeah, with my hand.
You've done that, right?
Yes, yeah. That's the worst. Yeah. Yes, that's a classic radio. Yep.
Right, yeah, the cord's too long, got stuck on the wheel you're of like, the chair, and I'm like, I can't move, and it's all static in my head.
Kind of like what happened with the Chiefs.
Yeah, we're about as prepared for the defense in the studio as the Chiefs were last night. We're now joined by Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs insider here, or Chiefs contributor, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. JB, that's tough, man. What say you today?
I feel like I fell asleep at 4:45.
I agree.
Just woke up and realized I had a terrible, terrible day.
Everybody's having a tough Tuesday, aren't we?
It's Monday.
I know.
It is every day of like the week.
It feels like
well,
a tough
Dusty,
Tuesday.
That's a really interesting question. Watching that game, I realized
it. Yeah. So
sorry,
we'll
I'm getting
get,
a little
we'll
bit of. I'm hearing myself on the
in a second and whatnot, but you know. I think he's probably going to have the same type of answer that we've all had throughout this type of thing. It's just trying to get through it, trying to kind of pick up the pieces and kind of figure out where things went wrong. I mean, like, if Andy Reid, you know, called you, pulled you aside, said, what'd you think? Like, what would be the first thing that you would tell Andy Reid about last night's game? I think we're all in kind of concert with the offensive line, right? We all know that the offensive line didn't live up to it. But I would ask, why weren't you ready for adversity? Because this is a team that has been behind, as we know, by 10 points in just about every freaking game that they played in the postseason. Why weren't you ready for adversity? Why did you allow the Philadelphia Eagles to punch you in the face like that and never really get back up off the mat?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you always say to yourself, like, you know, you got to be able to, you know, put yourself in a situation if you're down by a certain, you know, thing. Here's where we shift to. I think that was just one of those unfortunate things. Like, it was just, you normally, as a team of that level of greatness, and I keep going back to your dynasty thing. Like, is this dynasty over? That's a tough question. I don't think that this, and I think that's the thing, because you don't know how many times this core group of guys are going to be back. And I don't know if you could say, like, this dynasty's over until somebody inside the tight-knit circle is gone. And I think that if we say the tight circle of players that have really been the representatives of this dynasty, it's Kelce, Mahomes, Chris Jones, Creed, McDuffie. Like, is that the group? Is that the... is that the five guys you would say that are like the – so like unless –
no, I disagree with you on that. I think the dynasty is just Patrick and Andy, quite honestly, because I think that's how we judged the Patriots dynasty. It was always Brady and Belichick,
but
right?
But Gronk's part of that.
But he wasn't there the first 10 years of that,
which
right?
Which is the second dynasty.
Do you consider it two different dynasties?
For sure.
You do?
Yeah, so, but I, you had so, like Teddy Bruschi representing one and like Vinatieri, and then it was like – Vinatieri left and went to the Colts, and then, you know, Brown retires, and then they get Gronk, they get, you know, Edelman and these guys, and that's like a second tier of the Patriots.
Well, then you almost have to consider this Chiefs dynasty as two already, because there's only been seven guys that have been here for the entire run. See, I don't, though. I think it's all about the quarterback and head coach, because for all those years it was Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick, the Patriots dynasty, Brady and Belichick. Parts changed, but the two main people didn't change. So I guess I just don't think this dynasty is over and done until both Brady and Belichick hung it up, or until, like, maybe if Mahomes leaves and goes to Tampa and Andy's still here, or Andy retires and then, you know, Mahomes has, like, I think that's when the dynasty truly ends. I do think, and it's just my opinion. I mean, everybody can have, kind of their take on it. Because I don't know that there is a right or wrong answer, like what defines a dynasty. But I think in football, what defines the dynasty are those two big pieces that are the reasons why the dynasty does exist. I mean, you look back at the early days of the NFL, Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr, right? Then you had, you know, Tom Landry and Roger, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank right now. Staubach as the quarterback. Then you had Walsh and Montana. Then you had Brady and Belichick and, you know, Knoll and Terry Bradshaw. Like, I just think the dynasty is all about the coach and the quarterback, because that's kind of always the way that it's been portrayed. So until the coach and quarterback leave, that's, in my opinion, when the dynasty ends, unless they go belly up and they don't win games for a generation. But I just think this dynasty ends when Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes end.
Prisco, what do you think?
Who cares?
You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I do think it's hilarious. By the way, I'm hearing myself in the return here, which is perfect. I think it's awesome that the day after the Super Bowl, we're all here like, yeah, you know, it's everybody's preseason still. It's the preseason for everybody. No, it's just for all of us. It's just the day after a Super Bowl, and we're all going to feel hungover, even if we aren't. I'm not. I just feel like it. I'm football.
Yeah, it is. We're all tired. We're now all cranky. We are ready to get this thing moving in the right direction, focusing on the next season. But at least we kind of knew, Josh, that this thing was over pretty early, and you really didn't have to get that invested after halftime.
Yeah, I basically was mentally checking out near the end of the first half. I enjoyed my halftime. And then it was the first time I've watched a Super Bowl, Chiefs Super Bowl, with my friends at my house. So I was the person who certainly cared the most and knows the most about football of that group. And they kind of just helped keep the mood up despite the actual performance on television being miserable. So, yeah, it I guess maybe will refresh me a little bit as the day goes on. I actually felt okay, like, going to bed last night. I think I woke up in a worse mood than I went to bed with.
I think that's a fair assessment, because I think it, for everything, is like the way that the game played out was like kind of like shock. And then, you know, you kind of go and you're like, oh, well, whatever. Like, the sun will come up tomorrow. And then you wake up and you're like, damn it, that sun came up after all. So, I mean, I feel that, because now you've had time to kind of recap it. You've seen, you know, more and more. But I guess when did you kind of just see that it was like not the Chiefs we've seen?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting cutoff, because that could have been pretty early. I mean, the first two drives felt really bad. And then obviously the pick, and then the pick six, and the pick six was like the first dagger, I guess. The game wasn't over. It was 17-0. But the second pick, the one deep in their own territory, and needing points there, down 17-0. I didn't tweet it. I didn't say it to anybody in my house, but I had the thought, and I don't even want the receipt because it's miserable, but I had the thought, it feels like there's a better chance that something terrible happens here than that the Chiefs go march down and score. And the very first play of that drive, the Eagles get the ball back, 24-0. At that point, I mean, the game was over. The Chiefs got the ball back one more time before, you know, if they score a touchdown here, they could double dip. No one believed they were going to double dip before and after halftime. They obviously had none of that juice. So that Mahomes pick, first play of that drive, down 17-0, that felt very much like the ball game. I watched the whole thing because I watched 10 games of Brody Croyle in my childhood. So right. I was going to watch the Super Bowl, but it felt more or less over then.
Yeah, it kind of did, and you kind of got that feeling that they weren't going to be able to come back. They just didn't have it. You can recognize that. And the reason I think we're able to recognize that is because it doesn't happen all that often. Like, really, the last time we felt this way was the Tampa Super Bowl. That's the last time you really felt they were overmatched and seemingly underprepared for a football game, and Tampa throttled them. And the same thing happened again last night. It just felt like Philadelphia was more prepared. Nick Sirianni coached better than Andy Reid. Jalen Hurts played better than Patrick Mahomes, and that defensive line clearly played better than our offensive line.
Yeah, I think the two things of those are all true, obviously. But I think the two things that really stand out to me the most is that, one, smoke and mirrors on the left side of the offensive line couldn't make it through Philly. And, right. and I think that's even partially Philadelphia having 2 weeks to look at Joe Tooney's pass set. I wish I would have told you guys this on Monday, but I mentioned it with Cody and Gold on Friday, that Josh Sweat and his giant octopus arms, especially versus Joe Tooney, was going to be a huge problem whenever he was up on Tooney. He was also a problem for Juwan Taylor, who I think is generally kind of underrated for this football team. Not a good day for him. Not a good day for really any of those linemen, which we all saw. But to the Tampa point, the biggest difference between this game and the Tampa Super Bowl, and why this is worse to me, is that Patrick Mahomes in the Tampa game, we remember him getting, you know, parallel to the ground and hitting Darrell Williams in the face mask with a football. Patrick Mahomes was doing some absolute Houdini nonsense in that Tampa Bay game. And last night, Mahomes was part of the problem. He was making it worse instead of making it better. And there might be a couple of times in Mahomes' career, the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. I'll tell you this. There are so few instances of that happening that we can name them off the top of our heads. But that's what was happening last night. From the beginning, you could tell he was uncomfortable and he was pressing. And especially earlier in his career, there would be maybe even those first couple of drives where he'd sail a pass or maybe he'd dirt one because he's just a little overwhelmed, a little overhyped for that moment. And that's fine. Like, he obviously found his groove as the game went on. You understand how that happens. He's outrageously competitive, ran a little hot at the beginning of some games. But I didn't expect to see it yesterday, and I certainly didn't expect to see it snowball all the way that it did, with a really, really rough game from Tooney and Caliendo, and again Taylor and Trey Smith was, I think, fine. I haven't, obviously, there was no way I was rewatching that game before I went to bed, so I will rewatch it before tonight's edition of the Josh Briscoe Show. It'll be well educated and recently rewatched, but it was a miserable game from the O-line, accentuated by a miserable day for Patrick Mahomes. If you would have told me those two things were happening, I could have saved us all some time and money.
So when would you have made the change, though, with Joe Tooney and maybe try DJ Humphreys at that tackle position?
Houston. I think that was the only time Andy Reid was ever going to do it. In this game, I would have tried it as soon as the snowballing was evident. But I think after DJ Humphreys was out there and stayed healthy through week 18, you have a bye week and to make sure he is fully healthy and to begin to work on that in practice. Andy said they were rotating them in practice. I don't know how true that was. But I think the only real chance they had was to get Humphreys back, have him play through week 18. Not very many snaps next to backups. Not a great day, but he was out there. I think the ceiling play, and I wonder even if they knew they were going to play Philadelphia, would they have done something different? I don't know. Because Tooney held up through those first two games. This isn't an issue of how he performed entirely against Houston and Buffalo. But also, we saw the Chiefs moving a lot quicker and moving against worse defenses, obviously, than what we saw yesterday. So I think that the only real chance for that to happen was against Houston. I didn't think they were even going to do it at halftime yesterday at any point, because Andy Reid stuck with this group because it was the thing that was working. I know it wasn't working in the first half, but an in-game move like we saw earlier in the year, I think almost has to come from Mahomes. It has to come from a younger player. At this point, I think when the game started with Tooney at left tackle, he was going to finish it there. Obviously, I guess. That's not great insight. That's what happened, and it was miserable.
Well, Mr. Briscoe, we appreciate the time. You enjoy your show this evening, and we'll see where we go the rest of the season.
Kicks off at 6 tonight. I got 3 hours to talk about this, which is going to be fantastic. Fellas, get back safe. I've really enjoyed hanging out with you on a Monday morning and chatting throughout this season. I wish it would have ended in a more fun way. I would have rather seen you guys at a parade in a couple of days, but appreciate getting to chat with you, and hopefully we can touch base a few times this offseason. And no, I'm actually not ready to talk about the draft. Don't call me for a little while.
Okay. Yeah, no, we're not quite there. We'll call Binkley for that.
Thanks, JB. We appreciate it. Thanks for everything this year.
Yeah.
That is Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, and it is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Coming up on the other side, good things come to an end. Things change. Come back even stronger. It's got to be the narrative moving forward for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll dive into that and more here on 96.5 The Fan, your home. I mean, I guess they went down swinging.
Who?
The Chiefs?
I wouldn't say they went down swinging. They went down. They didn't go down swinging.
Down early.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't much swinging going on out there last night. Not a lot of fight going on out there on the field. I shouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
so the Chiefs lose in dramatic fashion. Wasn't close. Outplayed by Philadelphia. Congrats to them. They won the Super Bowl. They're the champs. And what do they always say? You know, you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. They did it.
Yep, and then they lit their city on fire.
First time there's ever been the opposite winner of a rematch in a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah.
So that's a record the Chiefs have to own and be a part of, which sucks. But it's crazy to think that when you look at the Chiefs, like, outlandish loss stats, like, they lost that Rams game in Mahomes' first year as a starter. First team to ever score more than 50 points and lose.
Mm-hmm.
No team's ever done that. I think there maybe is now a team that's done that since then. And then no team's ever lost in a rematch in the Super Bowl. Happened today.
Happened today.
Or yesterday.
Yesterday, whatever it was, yeah.
Whatever it may be, congrats to the Birds of Philly. They
won the Super Bowl. They won. I mean, like, they did everything better, Dusty. I mean, there wasn't one thing that you could look at and say, boy, the Chiefs really did this well in this football game, right? I thought they handled the week great. I thought everything was awesome with the way that, you know, Kansas City was kind of approaching this thing, very businesslike, been here, done that. We kind of hit on the suit a little bit that Patrick Mahomes was wearing yesterday as he went to the game, that Eagles green suit. And I was I love the – who Chris Jones, too. Yeah. I said, man, I love that. I love the fact that they're wearing that color. I don't know. Maybe that upset some Philadelphia Eagles, got them to play at a different level. But I really thought Josh Briscoe made a great point with the long arms of Josh Sweat. Because you and I were sitting there talking about Josh Sweat last night. Like, oh, my God, how are we going to stop this guy? All he's doing is wrecking this entire game. And that's why Joe Tooney playing out of place finally caught up with them. Because you think about Josh Sweat with those long arms that he extends. If he extends his arms into Joe Tooney, Joe Tooney's arms aren't reaching Josh Sweat, right? Like, not getting inside that shoulder pad area where you're allowed to block and do your thing. And so if you're not able to use your arms and control the guy in front of you, you're not going to win. And Josh Sweat was just dominating all day at that left tackle position. And I think ultimately when it's all said and done, Andy will probably look back at that and say, hey, I probably should have tried something different there at some point in time. Once it started to get to the point where it looked like, oh, my gosh, this defensive line is wrecking things, like, I don't know, the first play of the game, you probably should have started to think about maybe DJ Humphries. But, again, the backstory is we can sit here and, you know, have these conversations and be loudmouths and everybody can have their take. What if DJ Humphries really wasn't healthy, right? Mm-hmm. What if he really wasn't ready to go out there in a game and it could have been potentially worse than what we saw out there? And there always is that possibility. Like, there's always that stuff that we don't know as fans, right? We don't know what exactly was going on. Why didn't DJ Humphries get an opportunity? We would have liked to have seen him get an opportunity out there and play, but what if it was one of those deals where he really is still banged up and putting him out here would have been worse than what we saw last night? We'll never know.
No, it's I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where, like, you look at the way the game was played and you look at the situations that happened. Philadelphia just all faces. I mean, all three faces, how people break down games. They were just, they were the more prepared team that night for what that game was, for what that matchup was. They knew what they needed. And, you know, Briscoe says it, 2 weeks looking at that offensive line and where you can really, like, we give Chiefs credit.
Right.
And if we're going to do it to the Chiefs and this is going to happen, like, that's what you got to do. And Philadelphia found the weak spot on the Chiefs and exploited it.
Big time.
And what that did is you then have the trickle-down effect of, oh, no, they've got something figured out. We've got – one thing I would notice a lot in the game being in the dome and, like, seeing it from up top and, like, in that high view is, like, every single time – and I know this happens in almost every play of games in football, but it seemed like every single time when Mahomes would get to the line of scrimmage or we get ready to set up the play, the Eagles were just so confident and cool with when they did their defensive shifts or when they did their realignment or when they were reading what they were seeing. And they were right, and they were causing pressure to Mahomes, which then put pressure on the line, which put pressure on the receivers, which then that's why Kelsey's dropping catches. That's why DeAndre Hopkins drops a catch. And it was just a recipe for disaster, and it was, you know, a blank storm they ran right into, and they didn't come out it with anything.
Yeah, and Vic Fangio, give credit to that guy too, man. He coordinated his ass off with that defense last night. And you're right, all areas of the game, offense, defense, special teams. Can I just say, Matt Araiza stinks.
His touch is a bit off.
I mean, every kick into the end zone, but like, you can't do that.
Yeah, it seems like he's got all the distance.
Every kick goes into the end zone and puts the team at the 20-yard line away. Like, there's no touch like we had with Dustin and Tommy Thompson, you know?
He's a golfer that's got an impressive driver, but he doesn't have a wedge.
Right.
And it's like a lot of your shots
need to be wedges, man.
You're going to have that little, you know.
Like, we took Dustin for granted, I think, where he was able to kind of just place that inside the 2-yard line whenever he wanted to. And then Tommy Thompson the last couple of years has been really good at kind of doing that kind of stuff. But this Araiza guy, like, it hasn't been an issue all year because you really haven't, you know, they're 15-1, for God's sakes, right? The punter's not going to be an issue. But even he stunk last night in that game. And even I look around like, this guy just kicks everything in the end zone. Does he even care to try to down it inside the five? Because it wasn't like they were bouncing. They were deep into the end zone. Like, I don't know, man. I think we can do better potentially than him out there on the field. That's just my take on that. So everybody's you know, kind of catching it today on this team.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, again, like, field position was key. Time of possession was key. I mean, literally every phase of that game. Philadelphia just was better. That's why the result was what it was. It was, you know, it's almost like they had a blueprint of what the Chiefs were going to do. But also, like, maybe that defense was a little bit underlooked or underappreciated from a Kansas City's perspective. Plus, like, you look at the past. Like, this team's been to these Super Bowls before. This team has, you know, faced adversity, especially in the big game. And, like, I think we all said, like, oh, down 10, no matter what, fine. But then 10-17, then 17-24.
It felt different, though, this time, being down 10-0 still.
When they got the pick, that's when, because, like, you know, we all have our friends that are like, it's 10-0, this team's going to get blown out.
You're right.
Like, Do you not remember history?
Yeah.
And so, like, even at 17, I was like, oh, this is tough. And then DeAndre drops the pass, and I was like, all right, this is it. This is the, I know this feeling. And then the pick, and you're like, now it's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to take, you know, then we're having like the facetious conversation of, well, Brady did come back from 28-3.
Right.
If Pat's going to be comped to Brady.
And I think it was that stadium, too, if I'm not mistaken. I think that Brady comeback was in New Orleans.
And it's
was
like,
it not? Or maybe it wasn't.
And it's like, if it's going to be, you know, the Brady Mahomes comp, then this is that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're down 24-0. You're the guy. Can you have this heroic game? And it wasn't that game.
It wasn't. And he wasn't
and that, and that conversation is done.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he was in Houston.
He was in Houston?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's not. He really wasn't able to have the opportunity to have that game because of that offensive line. And so that's where the trickle-down effect comes in. And you start to see, you know, if the offensive line doesn't work, then the quarterback doesn't work, the running backs don't work, the wide receivers don't work, and it all goes, you know, to kind of hell on that. And so that's something that ultimately you have to deal with. But again, as we've talked about, like, this is an organization that just isn't used to being bullied. They're not used to not getting what they want, right? I mean, like, you ever know an only child, and sometimes they're, as an adult, they're kind of jerky, because as a child they were given everything because they're the only child and mommy and daddy basically did everything. They call it only child syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the Chiefs. You know, they were the only child for a while. They got everything they wanted. They were able to make the plays they needed to make when they wanted, how they wanted to do it. Things kind of came easy, I say, and I use that term very loosely. Nothing's easy in the NFL, but they made it look easy. They made it look like they could do anything they want whenever they want, and they kind of got into that mindset. And then yesterday, for probably the second time in Patrick Mahomes' career, other than maybe that random game against Tennessee a few years ago, they couldn't get what they wanted, and they didn't know what to do. So they went to the middle of the room and screamed, and then that didn't work, and they didn't get what they want. That's what happened with this team. They're so used to being the premier team, the best team on the field, that they can do what they want when they want. When somebody gives them the opportunity and takes that away, I should say, that opportunity, they just didn't know how to respond. And so, again, I don't know if there's a way to work on that during the offseason or whatever the case may be, but they've got to find a way to do better when things don't go their way in those type of situations. They can't get out of sorts, and they did. And Patrick Mahomes tried to be a hero. Patrick Mahomes tried to be Superman. And when you try to do stuff like that and play at a level that, you know, you shouldn't be playing at in certain situations, it causes interceptions, it causes turnovers, and ultimately it causes you to lose that football game. And so while the offensive line deteriorated, Patrick deteriorated, and it's all together, they lost as a team yesterday, and it was really probably the third time in Patrick Mahomes' career where they didn't get what they want, and they just did not know how to respond to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's never good. I mean, you look at you mentioned the game against Tennessee in the regular season, those few years back, defensive line dominates offensive line. Tampa Bay Super Bowl loss, defensive line dominated the offensive line. And then yesterday evening, defensive line destroyed the offensive line.
And it's been a piecemeal at offensive line for the better part of Patrick Mahomes' career now. I mean, we go back to, like, Eric Fisher was the last stable left tackle that this organization had. And they've kind of piecemealed this thing together. They got a free agent here, a drafted guy here, a drafted guy there. Nothing really works. And when that main part of your offensive line isn't working, it stresses out the entire offensive line. It's harder for Caliendo to do his job, which makes it harder for Creed, which makes it harder for Trey, which makes it harder for Juwan Taylor because of that trickle-down effect. And so they've got to have a way to really not piecemeal the left tackle position anymore. 1 year with this guy, 1 year with that guy. They really need to make an investment. And for Andy Reid, for all these years, it was always like, just give me five guys on the offensive line and we'll figure out a way to make it work. And they've done that for the most part. But I think yesterday and the way that they performed on the offensive line, really all season, let's call it what it was. The offensive line hadn't been great all season long. I think based on this season, it is time to truly make that investment into a legitimate franchise left tackle. And who that is, I don't know. Maybe there's a Willie Rofe trade out there willing to happen. You know, Carl Peterson, when they needed to secure that left side, they went out and they got literally the best left tackle that they could get. And they made a trade for a Hall of Famer, and that solidified that offensive line and created the greatest offensive line we've ever seen. That's the type of move I think that will get people excited and really fix this thing in the offseason. Who's that Willie Rofe that they can go trade for? Who's that Willie Rofe maybe they end up signing or drafting? But they've got to find that guy to stabilize that left tackle position. Because if they don't, we're going to be having these same type of conversations. No more can we just sit back and say, oh, Andy will figure it out with the five best offensive linemen. It's time to go out there and get a legitimate left tackle.
Is that you looking up free agent left tackles already?
These aren't free agents. He mentioned a trade, and I was like, okay, best left tackles in the league, just forgetting contracts. I mean, all these guys are going to be locked up. You know, Trent Williams isn't even a name that the Chiefs would want. He's past his prime. For the Chiefs,
they wanted him, though. I mean, how different would the game have been over the last—
Fantastic.
We won three Super Bowls then, too, right, if we had Trent Williams on the offensive line. They wanted him. They made him a great offer. At the end of the day, he wanted to stay in San Francisco. Yeah. His heart was there.
Yeah, Tristan Wirfs, he's going to want to stay on Tampa Bay. Also, that contract. I mean, Penei Sewell, Detroit's not trading Penei Sewell. Like, none of these names until you get to the ones that we talked about earlier. I mean, like a Tyron Smith. I mean, he's old, past his prime. Like a Laremy Tunsil, same situation.
Would you trade for Laremy Tunsil?
No.
No.
How— he's been in the league now a long time.
Long time,
he
right?
had that yeah. gas mask on over a decade ago, right?
Sick picture.
Oh, it's one of the greatest of all time. Why is father, whoever tweeted that out, did that? I still don't know, but I mean, but that, yeah, that's one of the greatest pictures of all time, and he turned into one of the best left tackles in the game today. So, but this is why Brett Veach makes the big bucks, right? This is how Brett Veach, you know, goes about business. He figures it out. He always does. And I mean, it's not like we're dealing with a slappy at general manager. We got a guy that always seemingly figures it out. And his track record is he's 2-for-2 in figuring things out after they have a humiliating loss. The Patriots championship game, fired everybody on defense, fired all the defensive coaches, flipped that script, brought in the Tyrann Mathews, the Frank Clarks of the world to change that attitude. The Tampa Bay thing, revamped that whole offensive line. Here we are again with offensive line issues. Trey Smith most likely gone. Obviously, we're going to need a new left tackle. Joe Tooney's only got one more year under his contract. Juwan Taylor as well. So I think we're going to see some major changes on that offensive line. And who better to do it than Brett Veach? They have figured this thing out. And so I've got full confidence that they will. I'm just excited to find out who that left tackle is going to be, because I finally think we're going to get that guy that is going to give Patrick Mahomes the opportunity to not have to go into that Superman mode and try to do things that he's not able to do. And I think this has been something that obviously has been frustrating with Mahomes all offseason or all season long, and I think he's going to have a big say this offseason. Hey, go get a freaking left tackle, would you?
So you mentioned that sort of thing to help out Patrick Mahomes. I also am interested, and I don't know, maybe this is a dumb take. I'm not afraid to admit that. But the options at running back in the draft this year is quite a lot.
Yep.
And last night the Chiefs did not run the ball. They ran the ball seven times with their three running backs combined.
Sure.
Again, there's reasons why, but they never really even gave it a chance, right? And I wonder if maybe as Mahomes becomes this quarterback in the league, if you were to give him somebody like a Jahmyr Gibbs, like draft that type of running back, right? And there are a ton out there, and we know that most likely Kareem Hunt's not coming back. This was his shot.
This was it, yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco is a free agent after next year.
Right.
And he had a disappointing year due to injuries and production because of injuries. Why not go find like that elusive sort of Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs type of running back that really they tried to do it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and it failed. And they never really went back because then they find Isaiah Pacheco, who's fine for what he was. But again, with contracts and turnovers and rosters, like I wonder if that sort of style of running back would be something that if you did go out and spend the money to sign a left tackle or to trade, then you take the option in like the second or third round with the skill set at running back, and then you've got protection on the left side. Then you have Rice and Worthy. I don't know how many of those receivers are coming back. If I had to gamble, I'd say one of the three between Brown, Hopkins, and Juju. I would think Hopkins and Juju may be out. Brown, maybe the one you bring, or a Hopkins. It's one of those two who's going to win the vote. But I think that that style of running back, maybe that's something that, one, this offense really hasn't had, and one, you're starting to really see kind of like rejuvenate itself in the league. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs was really good in Detroit. Saquon Barkley goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Look what that happens. I mean, I know they have, or look how that happens with their offense. They win a Super Bowl.
Well, it's funny you say that about the running back, because earlier this morning I got a text from a former NFL agent. He goes, the Chiefs need to go out and find a legit running back. And so, you know, that's kind of where the game went this year, right? The running back became more of came back into the fold, if you will, about where, you know, this league was for the last decade. It wasn't a running back league. Now it's sort of kind of, you know, flipped it again, kind of the way things go, cycle on, cycle off type thing with the running back. It kind of looks like a situation where the running back is now maybe more of a need than it had been over the last 10
years.
There's
a little bit of
a
renaissance.
Right? That's the word. Yeah, though there is. I think you're right about that.
After what they went through where they were like not getting paid.
Right.
And then you look at teams with like their successful offenses, some of them do have that sort of running back, like Detroit, like Gibbs and Montgomery.
San Francisco.
It's hard to find.
You know? All the best teams other than the Chiefs
really,
are really predicated on the run. The Texans with Mixon, the Ravens with Lamar and Derrick Henry. I mean, you go in the NFC, the Eagles, the
and
Lions.
The Cowboys with... But seriously, like...
And he's got an 8-inch.
Yeah, the running back, the running back position has been kind of renaissanced in this league, and so you need that guy. You had two, like, powerful runners, right? Like Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. Mm. They will run through you. We need that guy that's going to run around you, that guy that's going to get open in space and hit it hard, you know?
And to the people that will say they never do, like, they did in Kareem Hunt. There was just an unfortunate situation.
Right.
They drafted Clyde.
They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Unfortunate with him as well.
It didn't work out. Kareem led the league in rushing. And he was going to be that guy in that offense. He was going to be that guy.
Right.
And Andy Reid's had that running back. He had LeSean McCoy. Mm-hmm. He's had Westbrook. He's had those guys.
He has.
And Sproles, I believe he had as well. So, I mean, like, he's had that sort of running back. And if you're going to move on in this league and try to evolve, you got to do something different. Go get some protection on the line and go get some sort of skill set player to go with those two Jets on the outside.
And again, I think the team that we see in September, probably now on Sunday Night Football, because we don't have the Thursday night game, but, you know, on Sunday Night Football against whatever opponent it is when they open the season, I do think it's going to look a lot different out there. And I think this is going to be one of the first off seasons where fans struggle watching players walk out the door. But everybody they've let walk out the door, we really haven't needed, right? We've done fine. We let Tyreek Hill walk out the door. Probably Justin Reed. Probably Trey Smith. Probably Nick Bolton. You know, those are three big names that may end up walking out the door and no longer part of this organization because it's just time to move on. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes on this roster, not just that offensive line, but as we kind of talk more and more about it, and I think you guys bring up great points with the renaissance of the running back. I've been kind of anti-running back for the last decade because I see it's kind of been a waste of an investment, but now you're starting to see it kind of come back to the fold. And adding in that dynamic runner would be a nice kind of yin to Mahomes' yang, if you will, you know?
And again, before we go to break, I'm not saying they're going to draft. I'm saying draft somebody with that skill set that can be that type. I'm not saying they're going to go get a Gibbs or a
Right.
Good luck with that.
Texans credit, they were top 10 picks, but like a guy that has that skill set. You found a Kareem Hunt late in the rounds. Go find somebody with that sort of option.
Either your boys from Ohio State, Henderson or Judkins, would be awesome.
Be nice.
If they're available.
Yeah, if they're available. Yeah. Again, you're picking 31 and
oh, yeah, those, like, they'll be available in later rounds. Yeah, but those aren't first round
picks. But you're picking 31, and we all want that immediate upgrade. It's hard to do it when you're picking 31 and 32. Yeah. And they've still been able to kind of maintain all this success over these years where, you know, you're picking 32, you're picking 31, you're picking 32, you're picking 31. Like, I mean, it's wild. That's that pick in the first round, second round, third. Like, so you're always getting the end of the round players, and they're still finding ways to make it work, and they're still finding ways to win. And that's why I've got all the confidence in the world. This isn't a general manager and an organization that hasn't done it before. It's an organization and a general manager that have done it before, and now they're extra motivated to do it again.
We'll tip our cap and say au revoir to the city of New Orleans and what we were most happy and most grateful for this weekend. Most importantly, it was all of you guys. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, final segment here live in New Orleans. Fesco, Dusty with you. Wrapping up this morning's show. It's been a week, Bob.
It really has been, Dusty.
Let's
talk about this 1 second. Did you have a good time? Let me know how your first Super Bowl experience was. I hope you had time of your life.
I did. It was a blast. I think I did it the way that I was supposed to do it. I think I did it the way that I wanted to do it. I want to first and foremost thank everyone for the supportive text that was given to me throughout the trip. I appreciate that for all of those people that have supported this journey of mine and have followed me for it. This is, look, I don't know how to say it. It's one of those things that if you can do it and you have the opportunity to do it, I think you should at least once. Whether your team is in it or not, I know it's easier to say it if the Chiefs get back, which they will because they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right. So you can always be positive on that. But I think, let alone, the best part about this is I would probably have never thought of going to New Orleans if it wasn't for this wonderful opportunity that was given to us by our bosses and our organization.
Mm-hmm.
So New Orleans was great. The food was fantastic. The people were great. Everything that we did at Radio Row was insane. It's exactly how I thought it was going to be. The Super Bowl was fantastic. Like, seeing it, like I told you, it felt bigger than a football game.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, you're right. You said it to me last night when the game kind of got started. You're like, oh, my God. Like, and I felt it, too. It felt big last night. The atmosphere was incredible, and then the game started.
Yeah. And so, yeah, a sour end to a very sweet time. Forever thankful. We'll always do that. And like I said, I plan on taking some stuff back that I collected and doing some sort of like DIY, you know, project with it. But it was eye opening. It was a learning experience. I'm really impressed with the way that the three of us got along the entire trip. There wasn't like a scuffle. There wasn't a fight. Nobody called each other an ass. It was three guys.
Not that we know of anyway.
Yeah. No, really, for sure. Like three guys, you know, that have been doing a radio show for 6 months, came to the Super Bowl with two people that never did anything. like this at all. And so I know I can speak for Mac on this. I'm very appreciative of you being a leader in this situation and kind of letting us know, like, hey, I've been here 6 or 7 times. I'm not trying to be the blowhard, like, just follow me. I'm just going to tell you where we could go and should go, and then you kids do whatever you want if I go to bed.
Right.
And we did that 1 or 2 times, but, you know, I will say Louisiana is a lot like it's a lot like Vegas. It's fun. It's interesting. It's different, but it's 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
3 days, and, you know, I tell people the perfect trip to Vegas is to fly down on Thursday afternoon to where you get there about noon because they're 2 hours behind us. Go out there and live your day, and then Friday, go do your thing. Saturday, do your thing. Sunday, fly out.
First flight on Sunday morning, if you can. Right to the airport on Sunday. But I you know, this has been a town for me that I've been to a lot. I think I counted like between 8 and 10 times that I've been to New Orleans over the course of, you know, my life, whether it was as a kid with my family or covering events, Final Fours and Super Bowls, and being blessed to be able to be a part of this. And my wife and I came down a couple of years ago, right after KU won the national championship here in New Orleans. We came down like 2 days later after that because we had a trip that we were supposed to go on that got changed and whatnot. So we ended up here, and there was nobody here. And I fell back in love with New Orleans again. And they, to me, this weekend, I got to give everybody credit who made sure that this weekend was safe, that made sure that this weekend was comfortable for everybody. New Orleans put on a show, and they need to be applauded for it. And I know there's been some talk that we may not see a Super Bowl back here in New Orleans because of the situation at the Dome and how it's very, you know, you saw it's antiquated, right? It's a little old and whatnot. And so there's not a lot of room up there. So some people are talking maybe we won't see the Super Bowl back in New Orleans for quite some time. But it is an amazing city. And if you have the opportunity to come down when nothing's going on, you can truly experience, you know, the greatness that New Orleans has to offer. And we really did. I mean, they did a great job, and I want to thank everybody here at WWL who helped us out. Our Odyssey family, too. I mean, I've been with this company for a very long time, right? I've been here for 15 years now and was here for 3 years prior when we were Entercom back in the day at KMBZ. What this company did for us on this trip and took our game to the next level, the corporate executives, Roxanne, Spectre, everybody involved that helped put us on a show that we were able to bring to you guys, it's all because of the corporate love that we all shared. We were all together. How many stations for Odyssey? 8 stations.
That's a lot.
We're all there together, pooling our resources. It was so well done. Mm-hmm. And the corporate guys are like, dude, wait till you see next year. We're going to even take it up to another level next year. And,
it's awesome.
And we're going to continue to move it forward. So I got to give thanks to the corporate suits and, you know, Spectre, who we don't like to credit a lot, and Roxanne, our main boss over at the Odyssey compound in Mission. But a phenomenal job by them to give us the resources to be able to do this, because this was a spectacular trip from top to bottom. And my whole goal into this whole week, these 8 days, whatever it's been, I wanted to make sure you two guys had a Super Bowl experience that if you never go to one again, you will enjoy. I wanted to be, it wasn't about what I wanted to do or anything like that. I wanted you guys to make sure that you got the experience that you needed to have at the Super Bowl. And I hope you guys were able to have the experience that you wanted to have. Obviously, save the game. And Nathan, let me tell you something, brother. Love you. You are a freaking rock star.
Amazing.
You did so much for us that goes unsaid behind the scenes.
Thank you.
I love having you part of this team. As soon as we fire Mac, we'll hire you. you're a rock star, my man, and we couldn't have done it without you.
Thanks. Love you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Nathan, you're the man.
Mac, you did a great job, too. I even told Roxanne how good you did this week, so hopefully she'll give you a raise.
There you go. Nathan, thanks for doing nice things for us. And everybody, go out there and do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their whole day, week, month, or their year. It's Simply Cool to Care. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2.